Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, leap day, Thursday, February the 29th, 2024, 15 minutes past the hour, and it's a big morning here at WGH Talk, and we are very excited because this is an historic day in Marion. And just to prove to you how historic a day it is, the Associated Press, the National Associated Press, last night picked up on the events that are going to go on over the next 2 days here in Marion concerning what we're going to be talking about here this morning. And I looked this morning, it is everywhere from Network ABC to Fox News and so many newspapers in between all across the country, because the headline reads, via the Associated Press this morning, Mary Ellen Withrow celebrates three decades of trailblazing service in Marion, Ohio. And it's a great story. And also, I want to mention, the Marion Star has done their own article. It is not in the hard copy today, but if you go online, it is in the online version, and we thank them for mentioning this program, What Time to Listen This Morning. Thank you, Marion Star, for doing that, and thank you to the Associated Press for mentioning this station. That was very nice of them. And it is historic. It's a lot of fun. Mary Ellen Withrow, on March the 1st, 1994, was sworn in as the 40th Treasurer of the United States, and over the next 2 days, she will be going to four different schools in the area, speaking to over 2,500 students, and then a reception will be held that is open to the public at Kingston tomorrow at 3:30. What fun we're going to have. And we're going to be live here for the next 2 hours, and like I said last week, I think she is the guest I've had on the most often and the one I like the best. Don't tell anybody. The 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, how are you?
I'm just fine, Scott.
Good to be with you here this morning.
Yes, it's very exciting.
You know, I always got to turn the guest mic on before we get started. It's one of those mornings.
Okay.
So, Mary Ellen, 40 years ago, this would have been the day before, what were you thinking?
Oh, I was nervous.
Yeah.
I had left my home in Marion, and my daughter was going to live there while we were in Washington. And I remember we stayed in a hotel for a week, and you know where you say where your address is, where you live? I had no address.
Oh, that's right, because you were in transition.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
And it was a strange feeling, yeah.
I bet so.
Yeah, and then we found a place to rent. We rented there until we bought our home there, but it was an exciting time.
What do you make of all this coverage? The Associated Press picks up on it last night. The Marion Stars got it this morning. Very nice.
Well, I'm very surprised, really, that it's been picked up on, and it's great that it is.
And this picture they've used, which is going to be in a lot of newspapers and on a lot of TV stations today across the country, I think they said this picture is from 1997. Does that sound about right? Look about right, Mary Ellen?
Well, they've got the $50 bill behind it. I thought maybe it was when the 50 was released. I don't remember exactly when that was.
Tell about that, Mary Ellen, because that's such an important thing when the money was redesigned.
Mm-hmm. We redesigned everything except the $1 and $2 bill, and it hadn't been redesigned since 1928, so you can imagine how much had to be done to improve it.
How long of a process was that?
Oh, it was a long process. Many, many meetings, long meetings, and with the Secret Service.
I can imagine. I remember when the money first changed, people said, well, it looks like play money.
Yes, yeah. Well, yeah, we heard that a lot, and then they got used to it. And there was a lot of discussion about, you know, who was on the bills. But the bills were the pictures were of the presidents were and the ones that aren't presidents were familiar people, and they wanted somebody familiar for the new people that came into our country so they'd recognize the bills.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, that's why they did it, yeah.
You were telling us last night that there were three things that were important to you that people knew about your time as treasurer. What are those three things?
I don't know what you're referring to.
The redesign of the money?
Oh, yeah. When I was in the federal job, yes, the state quarters program and the redesign of the currency and Sacagawea. We did a lot while I was there.
The state quarter program, that was a huge thing at the time. People would go to their banks and ask if the new state was in.
Yes, and actually, we were told that that was making, of course, you know, the government likes to make money on its money. They said that it was making $1 billion for the government.
You know, I can believe it because people had to buy a roll. They couldn't just buy one when they came in, so they had to buy $10 worth, mm-hmm. and they probably only wanted a couple quarters out of it. So I imagine there was a lot of money made on that.
Yes, and at first, the banks didn't want to be involved in it. So we went to the private sector, to Walmart.
Oh, really?
and yes, it was very interesting. And then when it was so successful at Walmart, all the banks wanted to get in on the deal. So that was very interesting.
Get in on the action of it,
yes,
all.
Yes, right.
And it certainly had that that particular feel. When tell people about Sacagawea, because that probably is the least known.
Well, it's, you know, we had $5 coins in the last century. The Morgan, the Peace, the Eisenhower, the Susan B. Anthony, and Sacagawea. None of them were a success. But Congress told us we had to create another coin, dollar coin, and we were going to do away with the dollar bill. And everybody was very upset about doing away with the dollar bill. And I traveled all over the country with McCain and one of the senators from Delaware, and they were promoting the dollar coin, and the public didn't want it, really. I mean, we talked to a group of senior citizens in Arizona one day with McCain, and he said, wouldn't you rather have a dollar coin than a dollar bill? And everybody said, no. And so the coin was, there were six people on the board that decided what was going to be on the coin. It was three men and three women. The three men wanted the Statue of Liberty, and the women wanted a real woman. And it was quite a time. This went on in Philadelphia for 2 days. And we had people representing women's organizations, you know, Girl Scouts and everything. Everybody was there and testified. And the men were very upset when the meeting was over because they didn't get the Statue of Liberty. So the compromise was Sacagawea. And so then we had a contest for artists, and Glenna Goodacre won the contest. She's the artist for the coin. And she used a descendant of Sacagawea as her model, which I thought was pretty neat. And actually, she's the mother-in-law to Harry Connick Jr.
Oh, really?
Yes.
The singer.
Yes. And, yeah, they were all at the introduction of the coin at the White House. I got to meet Harry Connick Jr., which was kind of exciting.
A lot of people wanted to meet. He's still very popular. Yes. And still out there doing his thing.
Yes, he can sing, I'll tell you.
He certainly can.
Yeah.
Mary Ellen, we're going to talk a lot about your time as Treasurer of the United States celebrating this 30th anniversary. But we want to go through some current events because a lot has happened in the last couple weeks, and we want to get your thoughts on what has happened. And we'll start with the presidential race because we talked a few weeks ago about the report that came out that said Joe Biden was an elderly man with a poor memory. That was in the special counsel report, looking into special documents that he had, classified documents. They're not going to do anything with those, but they did take a dig when it came to memory. How did you feel about that?
I thought it was terrible. It never should have been released. That's the bad part.
Why do you think those comments were made?
Well, somebody, I think there was a slip up somewhere.
On the flip side, this week, President Biden appeared on Late Night with Seth Meyers and got off a few good lines about age. How do you think Biden handled that?
Oh, he handles it well. He said, who told you that? When he said, right. I hear you're 81 years old.
Yeah. And he took a good jab at former President Trump by saying the other guy can't even remember his wife's name.
Yeah, right.
So do you think in a way that's alleviating the age issue?
I don't know. The age issue means nothing to me because I think he's doing a great job. He knows what he's doing. He knows more about government, I think, than anybody else that's anywhere around. I mean, my goodness.
When we look at age just in general, we were talking last night, you started when you were 39. That's when you ran for the Elgin School Board, got your political career started. So you were a little further along in life than some might be. Was age ever brought up in any campaign that you were participated in?
No.
So why do you think we're so age-obsessed now?
I don't know. I think the press gets started on something and they get carried away. I think that's, you know, the same thing with Al Gore. They said he was, what was the word? Not friendly. What was the word? I can't remember. But anyway, and that was all they talked about.
Yeah.
And he had such good background on being president and look what happened, you know.
We have to flip over to the other side here. Former President Trump lost the lawsuit in New York. $355 million going in the opposite direction. Right now there's talk of what does he have to post? Does he have the money to post? Is it liquid? What did you make of this whole story about President Trump losing a lot of money, millions?
Well, and he has to pay it within like a month. Yeah, there was all sorts of stipulations there because I think they're sort of preparing themselves for what he might come up with. I think he should have to pay it because, I mean, he was cheating the government.
It's interesting. Do you think Trump is as rich as he claims to be?
No, I don't think he is. I think there's problems there.
When you look at him and seeing his evolution over the last 8 years in the world of politics, what do you think of when you think of former President Trump?
Oh, I think he's kind of disgusting.
When you hear people say that this is one of those lesser of two evils elections between Joe Biden and Trump, that people don't like either one of them, what would you say to those people who have that opinion?
Well, I mean, look at the records of both of them, and it's ridiculous.
Third parties are coming into play again. A lot of people are worried about third parties. The Libertarian is out there. The Green Party is out there again. And a lot of people feel this is going to siphon votes off from the Democrats. How do you feel about those third parties and the fact that they are going to be out there again this year?
Well, I don't like to see third parties. I hope we don't have them.
Do you think this could be more trouble for the Democrats than the Republicans?
It's going to be trouble, and that usually that's the case.
Why do you think people vote third party? It's not a huge amount of people, but it tends to be younger people who vote third party.
Really?
It does.
I didn't know that.
You think there's any correlation there for any reason?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they don't really understand what this is going to do to the election. You know, they haven't thought about it enough.
You know, this is an election for a lot of people that holds a lot of weight. People say it's unlike any other presidential election we've ever had because a lot of people feel that if former President Trump gets back in office, that he will be a dictator. That's what people are saying. Do you have that fear?
Yes, absolutely.
Why do you have that fear? What puts you in that mind for people who don't have the same opinion?
Well, he's told us what he's going to do. I mean, it's been told, and you need to believe him, because when he says something, he's warned us many times about what he's going to do, and then things happen like he said, so you believe him.
Is there a bigger threat to democracy in the history of this country, in your opinion, than Donald Trump?
Is there a bigger...
Has there ever been a bigger threat?
Oh, I don't think so.
He's the biggest.
I think so, yeah.
How did we get there? That here we are, nearly 250 years in, and now we've got the biggest threat.
Yes, I've said many times, you know, I can't understand why there isn't something in our Constitution that says you couldn't elect someone that's had a record and, I mean, what kind of a record?
Indictment or a felony.
Yes, right. Yeah. And they never thought this would happen. Our ancestors never thought they'd have to deal with this. Here we are. Look what we've got ourselves into.
And here we are.
Yeah.
The 30%, and that's what they say, 30% of people who will vote for Donald Trump no matter what. How do you characterize those people? That he can do anything, and they're never going to leave him.
I don't understand them. I don't understand.
I don't think there's ever been a candidate that had, and 30% is not a lot, but it's some, had that kind of a base support. The whole idea that I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and people would still vote for me.
You know, I wonder in the past if there were some really tough elections, like I'm trying to think of his name, the one that ran he ran and then he won and then he was out of office and then he ran again. Who was that? I'm not thinking of it this morning, yeah. But there's been some terrible elections, I'm sure, but I don't think we've ever had anybody like Trump that has been running. It's been people that they loved our government. He doesn't love our government.
What do you think he loves?
Himself.
Mm-hmm. This is an interesting topic, because if anybody picks up any of the Associated Press articles and it's part of your biography online, everybody calls you a trailblazer for women. You broke a lot of glass ceilings. You did things, obviously a strong woman. You have to be to do what you did in your political career. And a lot of people feel that President Trump, putting it mildly, is not very nice to strong women. It started with Rosie O'Donnell years ago, certainly progressed to Hillary Clinton. Went after Megyn Kelly. Recently, I believe he called Nikki Haley a bird brain. What do you think it is with Donald Trump and women?
Well, he has a problem, you know. He can't stand to be criticized. And the minute they criticize him, he comes back with some bad word about them.
Do you think he can take it easier from a man than a woman? Do you think he has a bias toward women in any way?
Oh, I think there's a problem there. Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look, we were talking last night, and it was interesting because Nikki Haley is still in there, and you said, as a woman, that you are glad that she's in there,
yeah,
even though she's a Republican.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, she's got opposition to what he's doing, and it helps the Democrats because she's a Republican and she's criticizing him, and he's got his attention on her.
How would you say she's doing?
I think she's doing a pretty good job.
Losing her home state of South Carolina.
Well, that wasn't good.
Yeah.
I know, but she didn't win it as, or she didn't lose it as bad as they said, though. It was like less than 20 points, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
And they kept saying 30 points. And she's a campaigner.
Yeah. When we look at, there was a lot of news yesterday. Let's start with this one. The Supreme Court has decided they are going to hear former President Trump's case about presidential immunity in the election interference case. This is going to happen the week of April the 22nd. Now, the fact that they're going to hear this is interesting, and no matter how they rule on it, it certainly is going to delay the trial from starting in a presidential year. What do you make of the Supreme Court deciding they're going to hear this case?
Well, it's too bad because I don't like to see anything put off. They're saying it could be after the election, and that's probably what Trump wants to happen.
Do you believe in presidential immunity when it comes to something like this?
No.
Do you think the Supreme Court, because a lot of people have said that they would not do this if it wasn't President Trump, he appointed a lot of those justices, and that the Supreme Court is political.
It is. I found that out when Gore and Bush had their escapade.
Do you put this in the same category that they are possibly shielding President Trump until the election?
Absolutely.
Do you think there's a good chance that he could get presidential immunity with the justices that are there?
It's possible, yeah.
How is that? Would that still go with the idea that we are all equal underneath the law if he were able to get immunity in something like this?
No, I mean, if anybody else was in this situation, they wouldn't get off, you know. If I did this, I wouldn't get off.
Well, that's an interesting thing that a lot of people say about former President Trump is that for everything that's went down, he doesn't seem to face any consequences. Now, he got the $355 million ruling against him in the E. Jean Carroll case. That was 80-something million. But they say things just don't stick. He doesn't face consequences.
Well, he comes up with these ways of just putting things off. It's constantly that. I've noticed that from the very beginning. He puts things off, tries to find ways to extend his time, and things don't happen the way they should. And he's really good at that.
He can delay.
Yes.
He can delay. Another big story yesterday was Mitch McConnell, minority leader in the Senate at this particular point, will step down as leader at the end of the year.
Yes, I was kind of, it's about time probably.
Mm-hmm. What have you made of his issues where he will be at a press conference and somebody will ask him a question and he can't respond?
Yeah, he's got a problem there. There's something going on that he does a blackout or something for a little bit.
A lot of people say of Mitch McConnell that he did a lot for the Republican Party in delaying things, putting off things, certainly probably most prominently when the Supreme Court justice died back in 2015, he was able to deny President Obama confirming or even nominating a justice to be the hearings to be put before the Senate until after the election, which is how Trump was able to do that, delayed it for over a year.
Yes, yeah, that was stolen from us.
How do you look back at Mitch McConnell's time in this position? Clearly he did some things, but how do you feel about the things he did?
Well, I didn't feel very good about the things he did. He did a lot to make things difficult for Obama. I mean, it was terrible the way he treated him, I thought.
Do you think when Obama was in there, I remember Newt Gingrich calling him the food stamp president. I remember things that were said, of certainly the birther movement that went on during that time. Do Do you think that having an African-American president brought out a feeling of racism in this country?
I think it helped. And the fact of the appointment to the Supreme Court, I mean, how did he have the nerve? How did he get away with that? I don't know. It seemed like it shouldn't ever have happened.
He certainly delayed the hearings. Mitch McConnell did that. Merrick Garland, I think, was who
Merrick
Obama...
Merrick Garland, and he's head of Justice Department now, but he hasn't performed very well, if you want my opinion.
Yeah, how do you... Because he's the head of everything that's going on, a lot of these federal cases that are looking into President Trump,
yes,
and other issues. How do you feel he's doing as the head?
I don't think he's doing very well.
What bothers you about him?
Well, because first of all, he put the information out that he didn't have to about
the case with Biden?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, the classified document.
And where all the bad wording was in that should never have been released, and he released it. He didn't have to.
Is there any situation where you could see that would be necessary to put that in there?
No. I mean, why would why was that be necessary? That's somebody's opinion.
It is interesting that age has become an issue in this election, and of all things to end up in that report would be something about memory.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's a fascinating look. The only other current event I want to talk about here is one. Trump got a lot of news this week, and he was appearing at a dinner. I believe it was on Saturday night, and he had some interesting comments in regard to African Americans. Now, this is a paraphrase of what he said, but that his mugshot was very popular among African Americans, and that he felt closer to them because he'd been indicted now, and they felt closer to him. What did you make of those comments that former President Trump made in regard to African Americans on Saturday?
I thought it was terrible.
Had you ever heard anything like that from a presidential candidate?
They'd have more sense than to say something like that.
Why do things like that not stick to him when they stick to others?
I don't know. I wish I knew.
It's an interesting thing because... I would think maybe 20 years ago, if you made a comment like that, it would have been on the front page of every paper, and you would have to leave the political arena.
Yes.
So anymore.
No, that's right.
We just kind of roll. Have we become used to maybe President Trump's behavior? Is that what has happened?
I think that is some of it. Yes.
But does it make it okay?
No, it doesn't.
How do you think this will impact the African-American vote? I don't think he has a lot of that vote anyway, but do you think it will impact it even more, these comments?
Well, I think it will. I haven't heard any remarks from anybody about it, really. As time goes on, I might hear somebody say something.
It's interesting to watch this because as it goes on, all of these things are happening, and certainly the news is covering them, the media is covering them, but there's so much. It's hard to keep up with everything.
Yes, yeah, it's constant.
What do you make, and there's news this morning all over the place, and it has been constant news with Putin and Ukraine and everything that's going on there. What do you make of what's going on in Russia right now, in Ukraine?
Well, I really wish they'd get some money to Ukraine because equipment that they need, the bullets or whatever they're short on, they need to have something they can be firing at the Russians with.
A lot of people are fearful that this could be World War III. Do you have that fear as well?
Well, I think they're trying to keep it from being that. I think the president is very aware of what's being felt, and he's trying to operate in a good manner here. I was pleased to see all the ships out there on the water that were sent over right away, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does this work for or against President Biden? We've got Israel and Palestine. We've got Russia and the Ukraine.
I don't know that it shouldn't work against him and shouldn't work for him. It's things that happen that he had nothing to do with.
A lot of people say that a wartime president tends to be reelected because people don't want to change stream in the middle of a bad situation.
That could be, yeah.
So possibly could work for him.
Yeah.
God forbid it ends in troops on the ground. Do you think at this point the United States would go along with that, the citizens? Or do we not have the stomach for actual ground troops anymore?
Well, I don't know what to say on that.
After the Iraq War, George Bush took so much heat over that. It has seemed since then that presidents are very hesitant to do anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got the missiles, the things flying around up there.
Yeah. It's a fascinating time to be around in this presidential year. What do you make of just where we are? Certainly, you have been around for many presidential elections. What is it like now? Is it completely different, the same?
Oh, it's completely different. It's very scary, I think. I mean, we've got a choice between democracy and no democracy, and that's a terrible choice.
Elaborate on that a little bit, because this is the thing that I don't know that people are understanding who are trying to make that point. When you say this is about democracy and no democracy, what are you saying?
I'm saying that Trump wants to do away with people that are in his way, and so he can do whatever he wants the next time he's president. He's been thinking for 4 years about what he wants to do. He's got all sorts of plans. He's been telling us what they are.
Do you think there could be retaliation against people that he does not like?
Yes, that's what he said he'd do. He said he's going to have retaliation on the first day. He's got everybody lined up, and everybody that's talking about it is nervous.
Did you ever think you'd live to see the day that we would be here?
No. I never thought I'd see anybody like Trump in office and running for office again. Can you imagine?
It's a rarity.
Yes.
It's a rarity. When we look back at this last, what's it been now? 2016, since 2016, 8 years. When we look at the presidency of Donald Trump, him coming on the political scene and gaining momentum, running again, the indictments, the people who feel he does really well, what do you make of this Donald Trump, the political career?
Well, he, as far as I'm concerned, he didn't accomplish anything except save money for the wealthiest people in the country. I mean, they got a tax cut that was remarkable during his time. So there you are.
Do you think, with all the counts against him over 90, I believe 91, that he will end up in some kind of penitentiary?
I don't know. I keep hoping.
There you go. And I should mention that the phone lines are open this morning if anybody would like to call in and ask Mary Ellen anything. It's 47 minutes past the hour right now, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 on this big anniversary program. And again, we'll be on through 10 o'clock this morning, and then we will head over to Harding and Pleasant later on today. And then tomorrow, Pastor Craig will be in for me from 8:15 until 10 a.m. As we will be at River Valley tomorrow morning, and then head back over to Elgin, where it all started, for Mary Ellen, her political career in 1969, and then a big reception, which, by the way, is open to the public. Anybody can come to Kingston tomorrow, 3:30 until 5, and there's going to be all kinds of drinks and all kinds of food, and Bob Goyer has done a tremendous job with that, and we certainly thank him for that. And again, the phone line is 740-383-9944. If you'd like to say anything or ask Mary Ellen a question, feel free to do that. We'll be watching the phone lines here. Going back, you know, this just kind of fell this way, but the last place we will go tomorrow before the reception is Elgin. Going back, interesting. That would be the last one on the tour, where
right.
You started.
Where it started everything.
Now, not a graduate of Elgin, graduated from Harding, but what place does that school hold for you, being it's where your political career started?
Yeah, it's where all my children went to school, and, you know, I lived in that area for 34 years, so Elgin is, I know Elgin well.
You know, a lot of people told me that they thought you graduated from Elgin.
No.
But Harding.
Yeah.
Harding. Now, we will be back at Harding this afternoon. You have a room there named for you. What's it like to go back to Harding?
Well, it's always nice. I enjoyed it when I was at Harding.
What did, because I think it's interesting, Harding, of course, named after President Harding, and certainly you ended up on the federal level of government as well, first one, I believe, since President Harding from Marion to do that. When you were growing up, what did you think of President Harding, going to Harding, a school named after him?
Well, I really didn't think much about him, really.
Have you been surprised that he still remains low on the list of greatest presidents? We passed the President's Day recently, and he's still pretty well at the bottom.
Well, I think there's somebody else maybe that took over his spot.
I think we're going to get a call here. So, Matt, if you want to make sure Mary Ellen has a working set of headphones here, just hang with me, caller, there. We're going to make sure that the headphones, are those working? All right. Mary Ellen's going to put on the headphones here, and we will go to the caller momentarily. All right, caller, hang with me here. Okay, let's, okay, here, there we go. Yeah, you're on with Mary Ellen. Go ahead.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hi.
You know, when Hillary Clinton ran for president, you know, there were so many women that, you know, was not for her, you know. Why do you think that women don't come on to... You know, it seems like a strong woman, women, you know, aren't for them. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, it's hard to figure out, but I think a lot of women blamed her for staying with her husband. I think that had something to do with it.
Yeah, it just boggles me that, you know, you think that... women would rally around a woman running for president.
Yes, yeah, I agree. And a lot of women did, but there was some resistance there. I think you're right.
You know, there's a lot of women for her, and there were so many, you know, that, you know, I know them just my personal life, you know. They don't know much about politics, but they, you know, they wasn't for, you know, Hillary Clinton. I tried to talk to some of them, but, you know.
Well, you talk to different people and you get different answers, but it's hard to figure out what people were thinking. I thought she was such a nice person, and everybody said they didn't like her and they didn't know her, you know.
Oh, yeah, I think she was great, but, you know, I don't see how a woman's ever going to get elected if, you know, women can't, you know,
support them, yeah,
aren't comfortable with a strong woman running.
Right, that's right. Well, we'll see what happens. Some of the states, you know, have governors that are women, and other countries have women in charge, but we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, well, maybe one of these days it'll happen.
Yeah.
Hey, caller, what do you make of the big anniversary here, 30th anniversary?
For Mary Ellen?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's wonderful. You know, that, you know, people recognize what she's done.
Yeah. Certainly a groundbreaker and a trailblazer for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you for calling in. All right. Remember, the phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And here comes another call, Mary Ellen. All right. Let's go to the phones here on this historic morning here at WGH. You're on with Mary Ellen. Go ahead.
Remember, the phone lines are open here, 740.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, Ted and Carol here.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, we're doing good. Speak to Mary Ellen for a few minutes, and I'll get off of here and listen to her comment maybe for the next hour.
She's here. Go right ahead.
Mary Ellen, how are you doing this morning with... dear old Scott right there in the studio, you and him. Isn't that a delightful moment for you in your life?
Yes, it's wonderful. We get along really good.
Yeah, it sounds like, and it sounds like it'll never stop. But Mary Ellen, maybe I don't know what the agenda prevails for the second hour, but maybe it's in the agenda. I'd like to hear when you was a little girl, just a little girl, you know, when you was growing up, and if the siblings you had and stuff, and how you felt about the way things are today. I know that a lot of us are just within a few years, maybe under and maybe just a little over, you know, from 80 to 90, and right there we're just close related. We had the same thing growing up. But I just like to hear about you. If I believe you lived on a farm and we didn't know about siblings and stuff, just a little sketch part. It'd be very interesting to hear your young life story, if you wouldn't mind hitting on a few of that for us.
Sure. Yeah, I grew up on a farm. You're correct there. I had one brother. He was 9 years older than me, and he had polio. And pretty much was my life. I liked to read, and I took piano lessons and singing lessons and did all that.
Well, maybe if you think about a little bit of think, maybe we can. Here's Carol a moment. She might say a word to you, and then I'll get off of here for the second hour. Thanks, Mary Ellen.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Bye.
And congratulations on your anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hi there.
It's so nice that you're from Marion, and that we are here living, and we are going through all this with you, and I think it is so nice. And you know, I love it to hear that you did live on a farm, because that's where both of us, Ted and I, both came from farm too. And it is so nice, and I love to hear everything you have to say about it. And it's so nice to know that you're from here, and we are so close to you.
Well, thank you. Yes, I've always been from Marion, except when I was in Washington for 17 years, and it was good to get back to Marion again.
Well, I am so glad that you are from here, and you know, we're going to be listening to you these next 2 days, everything that you've done, and we just love it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, and congratulations. I just can't wait to hear everything you have to say.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Very nice to hear stuff like that, Mary Ellen.
Well,
very
yes.
Nice.
You can't get too much of that.
We can't go wrong there.
No.
And again, the phone lines are open here. We do want to give you your chance. If you'd like to say anything or ask a question of Mary Ellen, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 57 minutes past the hour. You know, Mary Ellen, interestingly enough, I did not know your brother had polio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard somebody say one time that when they had a sibling or any member of their family that was going through a challenging illness, that was difficult.
Yes. Well, and he had pneumonia, too. He went through a rough period, yeah.
How do you think that impacted your life?
Well, they were scared to death I was going to get polio because they were trying to keep me far enough away from him, and he didn't go to the hospital. He was at home the whole time, and then he took he took swimming lessons trying to recover, and I'd sit in the swimming pool area and watch him try to swim. That was what went on for a long time.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's an interesting dynamic when somebody is not well, mm-hmm. in the immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to let people again know the number this morning, 740-383-9944. And tomorrow, I won't be on the first 2 hours because I'll be with Mary Ellen at River Valley. So Pastor Craig will be in tomorrow from 8 to 10, but I'll be on at 10, and we'll tell you everything that's gone on and things still to go on during the rest of the day tomorrow. But again, the number is 740-383-9944 if you'd like to call in, and somebody apparently does. Here comes another caller this morning. All right. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Is this from Pennsylvania?
Yes.
I see a different area code. Calling in from Pennsylvania, you're on with Mary Ellen.
Hello there.
Hi, Mary Ellen, and I just wanted to congratulate you on your anniversary.
Thank you.
That is amazing.
It is. I'm kind of amazed myself.
It's amazing, and the world admires people that do great things, and you're certainly an inspiration to many people.
Well, thank you so much. I tell you, I've enjoyed it. It was a great experience.
It sounds very interesting. You inspired me to write a little poem in honor of your anniversary.
Oh, okay.
And I'd like to recite that here on the air.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Okay. It's called A Celebration. Okay. Just hang on.
Nope.
Today is your day. We honor you in a special way. People have lots to say. Oh, I forgot the last line. I'm sorry.
it's pressure. I understand.
Yes. Well, it sounds so good so far.
The world... And I had it rehearsed.
Did you? Yes. Well, sometimes your words will leave and you can't think of something that you want to think of. I know. I've had that happen a few times.
The impact you have on everyone will stay.
That's it. Good. Yes.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, and have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Hey, not bad there, Mary Ellen.
Yeah.
We get a poem from Pennsylvania this morning. And our first hour is already gone, but we're going to come back with Mary Ellen, and Matt and Carrington are here, and they'll join the conversation in hour number two. And again, the phone lines are open, so you can get in on the conversation in about 15 minutes. 740-383-9944, a big celebratory day here in Marion. We'll be back. Don't you go anywhere.
I don't say it keeps me up at night. I have to think that nobody likes criticism. But sometimes it's very legitimate.
Final question I have for you, Helen, is probably the question I've been asked the most since I did the